really, which is if we need to tread carefully in terms of how we define something like religion, because they're an ideal definition will leave open the possibility for integrating these conflicting energies. I'm wondering whether the a more appropriate emphasis in terms of defining problems is to focus on the dogma and actually clearly define what we mean by dogma and metaphysics. Because that is something I feel that we can be fairly strident about. We can say we don't want dogma, we don't want metaphysics. But if we're going to say that, we need to be clear what we mean by dogma and metaphysics. So maybe that's the most important definition to focus on, rather than what is or isn't religion.
Isn't even saying that a dogma?
Well, this is part of the problem, I think, with middle way. I mean, this is something which comes up with the justification of the middle way, isn't it? And maybe you want to say more about that.
I can say more about that, yes. Yeah. Well, probably the key thing about defining metaphysics is that it's self-defining. In the sense that, so, metaphysics, by its nature, is absolutizing. It tends to think of itself as the ultimate, having the ultimate statement of things. So, obviously, its definition of itself will have that quality. So, if you think about definition of God as a simple example, you know, just the you know, well, along with thinking about God tends to go a sort of absolutizing metaphysical quality in the whole approach. Yeah. Assuming we're talking about belief in God here, that's a supernatural entity. But yeah, there's also, I think, a crucial distinction between metaphysics in the abstract and metaphysics as people hold it as belief. So in any one person, there's a whole bag of different kinds of beliefs and attitudes and desires and so on washing around. And in all of those, in all of us, some of those are going to be metaphysical. So an aspect of practice, I think, is identifying those metaphysical beliefs and not rooting them out, but integrating them. You know, identifying them kindly and inviting them to soften themselves up a bit, perhaps. So that's... So in people, metaphysics is complicated. You can't just point to a person and say, he's metaphysical. And that's obviously the trap also in you know, I'm going to talk in a couple of days about archetypal projection. So the idea of pointing to a person and saying he's evil or whatever, that is a closely related kind of phenomenon, I think. But at the same time, metaphysics in the abstract, as it defines itself, is much more clearly identifiable. So that's where, well, there are certain kinds of features that can help you identify, and particularly dualism is one of them. So with a metaphysical belief, there'll always be an opposite. There'll be denial of an opposed metaphysical belief. So belief in God, the belief that God exists, belief that God doesn't exist, belief in free will, belief in determinism, belief in a self, belief there's no self, etc., etc. It would also be absolute, in the sense also that you can't incrementalize it. So you can't have a bit of it. You can't believe it to some extent. You've either take on board the whole thing or you don't. Which tends to mean that people adopt metaphysical beliefs in a brittle sort of way. So they hold them and they'll stick to that view rigidly. But if it goes, then it goes all at once. You know, it cracks and it falls. And they have a dramatic conversion or whatever. And that's another feature to look out for. They tend to be dualistic and they tend to be absolutizing. And another likely thing when it comes to metaphysical beliefs is that they're unfalsifiable. So there's no conceivable circumstances in which they could be proved wrong.
There's the idea of coherence as well.
Yeah, they create a coherent world for themselves, whereby they can interpret every experience in those terms. Mm. So you can interpret everything in terms of God's action in the world, for example, if you hold that worldview. Mm. You can also interpret all your experience in terms of God not existing. And again, that's equally impossible to falsify.
Yeah.
So I think those generally help with the abstract philosophical identification of metaphysics.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the most important features, and we'll go into this a bit more later on in the fourth talk, but I'll probably do for now as the main features.
Mm-hmm. And then presumably you've got sort of operational definitions in terms of how beliefs function, so you have two identical beliefs, or beliefs that are identical on the surface, but how they actually, the effects they have on somebody's thinking could be quite extremely metaphysical, whereas you could almost have the same belief, but one is held contingently or provisionally, and the other one is held absolutely. But yeah. From the outside, they could appear to be identical.
Well, that's the thing about metaphysical beliefs, that they can't be held provisionally because of the way they are. So
right,
they're absolutely in their nature.
Yeah.
But there are variations in how big an effect they have on people's actions. Mm. So you could have an absolute committed belief in the existence of God, say, but actually that didn't make much difference to the way you behave, which was perhaps, you know, you work in business and most of your ethics come from your business environment or something like that, then the belief in God might not actually make much difference to your life, but it's still held on to somewhere and it's part of the picture.
Right, okay. Yeah.
This conversation took place quite early on in the retreat, and later on we did look in more detail at some other aspects of metaphysics. So if you look at day 4, there is quite a detailed discussion of metaphysics in relation to objectivity in science. So I'd like to point out that in that discussion we didn't talk about quite a few other aspects of metaphysics, such as representationalism, so its relationship to meaning, its psychological effects, and its relationship to groups.